Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
All right, special treat. As we do this podcast, the Rays had won five in a row. We'll see what happens, of course, on their Wednesday game, but we talked to their red-hot beat writer from the Tampa Bay Times, Mark Tompkins. Mark, I didn't know what direction this team was going to go after kind of an up and then at the end down April, but it's got to be the cityscape uniform. Look, I've never seen a change of a team this quickly, but and we can get into the meeting that you wrote about that they had after that one in five road trip. But, man, I don't think these guys are going to take these uniforms off.
Yeah, I did confirm they were watching them each night. I did have some highly placed sources that were able to confirm that for me at least. But, yeah, it's look, baseball is a game, Rick, and you played it at a pretty high level. I mean, it's a game of physical failure and kind of a mental test on a daily basis, right? And
yeah, absolutely.
If you can convince yourself that something's working for you, you got to just sell out to it. So if it's putting on these dark gray pants and weathered black jerseys and the neon accents and the skateboard backstory, and that's what's doing it for them, yeah, they're going to keep doing it. And, you know, you don't blame them for kind of riding a little bit. You had Zach Eflin shaving his beard and pitching with a rather interesting looking mustache on Tuesday night. Randy Rosarena changed his walk-up song. I mean, guys will go for anything, but yeah, I do think the, coinciding of kind of the low point of the season, that 1-5 road trip, the team meeting, very unusual for Kevin Cash to call a team meeting. And then you combine it with, look, it was a good window for a reset. I mean, the Mets were a decent team, but you're coming home for a long homestand. You know, you're going to have a lot of energy in the building with the new uniforms. You're going to get good crowds over the weekend. So it all kind of lined up well. I mean, I'm not even sure if they factored all that in. It may be more of us thinking of it that way, but it did kind of line up well. I mean, Joe Maddon used to say he would try to schedule a team meeting on the day that the other team's worst starter was going, figuring they had a good chance to go out and win. Everybody would be like, oh, the meeting worked. Great. in this case, I think it was just lined up, you know, from a scheduling standpoint and knowing that they'd get a little bit of a boost from the new uniforms and Kevin Cash, the master orator, apparently that he is, got them fired up and they rolled off five in a row.
It is unusual. You know, clubhouse meetings happen, but not generally called by a manager. And I know the players talked a lot about it too, but there was a sense, and you wrote about this, Mark, in the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com. That was a really insightful story, just how, you know, energy can be created a lot of ways. Obviously, when you're winning and guys are producing, everybody, you know, kind of joins in the party. But the opposite can be true too. But sometimes, as you wrote in his story, you have to kind of fake it before you feel it, you know. And I do think that the sort of the stars aligned, whether it was the uniforms, the homestand, the opponent, whatever. I was there on that Friday when they, you know, all of a sudden they're down 3-0, and I was thinking, oh boy, you know, like this is not the reset that they were hoping for. And then they come back and score 3 runs. They go on and score at that time a season high 10 runs, I think. And from that moment on, and not surprisingly, the two guys that have struggled the most, I guess, that you counted on the most, being Yandy Diaz and Randy Rosarena, have sort of come to life, you know, and all of that kind of plays in there. But I do think that there is something about the esprit de corps that these guys were not into it enough. And maybe you just, it sounds sort of American Legion-ish, but sometimes there's something to that in baseball.
Yeah, there is. And it's kind of evolved. I mean, you go back, you know, I don't know a specific year, but you go back to like some of those super veteran, like Yankee teams and stuff. Like you didn't see A-Rod and Dieter playing like, you know, Patsy's in the dugout and doing banana stuff, right? They had a mature veteran team and they won 3 World Series and, you know, all that kind of stuff and a bunch of World Series. So it's evolved, but I do think it's become a little bit more of a younger game. It's become a little bit game with a lot more emotion. You know, we saw that fight the Rays had with the Brewers last week in Milwaukee, and, you know, it kind of started with Jose Siri pimping a home run, and Kevin Cash said after the game, you know, that's part of the game now. How do you determine when there's a line there? It's part of the game. Reliever, you see relievers do it. You see starting pitchers do it. You see guys make kind of routine plays in the field, and they're beating their chest, and it's just become part of the game. So I think if you show emotion on the field, you can show emotion in the dugout. And, you know, Jason Adams, usually a good voice of reason, the Rays reliever, and he was quoted in that story you referenced, and you know, he said, it seems a little rah-rah, but it matters. And good teams do that. You do see them cheering for each other, supporting each other. And I had noticed that, and I know a lot of fans had too, that the Rays had seemed flat for some of those earlier games, you know, both at home and on the road. And there's lots of reasons. It's a mix on the roster of some new guys, some guys that really weren't supposed to be there, so they were probably kind of treading cautiously. You don't really have that veteran leader. Manny Margot kind of was that for a while. You certainly go back before that. Kiermaier, Evan Longoria, kind of that guy that, you know, players would look to. Some of the veterans they do have now are just quieter by nature, you know, personality-wise. Brandon Lau, Yandy Diaz, Zach Eflin, maybe a little bit more outspoken. But, you know, so you have that kind of that mix. You have a mix of just a lot of English-speaking pitchers and Spanish-speaking position players, so there's naturally just a different mix there, and not that, you know, the communication is impinged by that, but it's just a different mix. You have a team that got off to a bad start. You had star players that weren't producing, so you just had this kind of, you know, it all came together in a bad way and kind of a perfect storm situation of they were struggling, they weren't playing well, they weren't having a lot of fun, and then how do you get out of that? Well, which begets which, right? Chicken and egg, just you have fun because you're winning, or do you start winning because you're having fun? Yes. In this case, I think Kevin Cash did a job of kind of getting that going and telling the players, you need to work this out a little bit, and playing with a little bit more energy would be a good thing.
Well, and they had some new additions or some old additions perhaps, but it doesn't hurt when a guy like Johnny DeLuca shows up, and he was supposed to be with the club from the start and became injured. But what a series he had, and all the runs he drove in, I think 10 runs in 4 games or 5 games, whatever it was, has had an instant impact. And so, you know, now Josh Lowe is back, and we see, you know, a welcome left-handed bat with that. So listen, it doesn't hurt if you can extend the lineup and guys come up and start producing right away. That can get you going as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, they're looking a little bit more like they expected to look, you know, when they went to spring training. You know, Josh Lowe got hurt during the spring. Jonathan Aranda got hurt during the spring. Brandon Lau got hurt early in the season. You know, Aranda doesn't have the track record, but they were counting on him to be the third of kind of their three top left-handed bats. So they've been without all three of those guys for the most part. That was a big thing. And John Romano mentioned this in his column today, too. And I think this is a good point, is that not only is it not having the left-handed bats in there, like when you're facing a right-handed pitcher, but it was the ability to counter moves during the game. I mean, the Rays are built, as we know, we've talked about this going way back to, you know, when they switched to the Rays era when Stu Sternberg and his group took over and kind of implemented a new philosophy here that's become very prevalent throughout the game. But platoon advantage, being able to counter when the team has a righty on the mound, have lefty bats. When the team has lefty on the mound, have righty bats. Have guys that, you know, can hit pitchers who are reverse splits that favor the opposite side. So, in other words, they depth and maneuverability were big parts of their success. So not only do they not have those left-handed bats to start the game, they didn't have the ability to counter moves during the game. Teams could bring in a right-handed reliever and just plow through a bunch of right-handed hitters, knowing that there wasn't a proven left-handed bat. I mean, Richie Palacios deserves a lot of credit for stepping up, a guy who really wasn't a regular player before, and you know, the one left-handed bat they were kind of running out there on a daily basis, Ben Roethlisberger, the catcher they picked up from the Yankees right before opening day, has been just a tremendous help and a really unexpected offensive contributor. You know, Austin Shenton's a rookie. He wasn't going to make the team. He's been in there. He had that big at-bat in the rally against the Mets the other night.
The walk,
walk. So these guys have all contributed, but they haven't had their typical depth and maneuverability on the bench, and I think you're going to see that also improve their ability to come back in games as they get these guys back. I mean, Aranda should be back within a few days. Brandon Lau started his rehab yesterday. He's probably a week, 10 days from joining the lineup as well.
Yeah, it's going to be huge for them. And to be honest with you, Mark, I mean, even though what the low point was, what, 4 games, maybe under 500 or something like that, where would they have been without the new players? I mean, they brought in a bunch of guys and you never really know how they're going to work out. And it seems like the Rays always find the right dudes. But how about Ahmad Rosario or Jose Caballero, or you mentioned Richie Palacios. Like, and we'll get to the pitching in a minute and Pepio, but I mean, my goodness, if the new Rays don't show up, even with, you know, a lack of power that they may have, but the infield hits and the defense, I'm not sure where this team would have been, because we know that the big guns just weren't firing early.
No, absolutely, and you're right. I mean, with the struggles that Diaz has had, the struggles that Rosarena has had, Brandon Lau getting hurt, a couple other guys that haven't produced, Jose Siri's another guy who struggled a lot. So, for sure, and some of these moves when they made them, I mean, the Amed Rosario move during spring training, signing him was baffling to me. I had no idea, why would they do this? Where's the guy's going to fit? He's a shortstop. You just brought in Caballero. You've been talking all spring how much you like him. And they're like, oh, Rosario's an athlete. He can play the outfield too. I'm like, yeah, we've heard that before. It's not all that easy. And, you know, there have been a couple plays where he has not made the right play, and he's cost them a little bit. There was a game in Colorado where he may have cost them the game not coming in on a ball. But you take what he's done offensively, and I think it's definitely been a plus addition. And now, you know, they've got him comfortable in the outfield. He can play second. He can play short. He's going to get some work at third now, because with Curtis Meade sent down, they're going to need somebody if Paredes needs a day off or comes out of a game for a pinch runner or something. So Rosario's really fast. Caballero's been great. I mean, the whole shortstop situation, this is all a trickle-down, of course, from the Wander Franco legal situation.
Right.
And then Taylor Walls has the hip surgery that's taken him much longer than they anticipated to recover from. So, you know, they were looking at really not having a starting shortstop and maybe having to kind of scramble a Slavis Basabe, who was up last year. Then he, it turns out, gets hit by a pitch and breaks his hand at AAA. But Caballero has been great and really helped them. Aggressive base runner. He's hit a little bit. You know, I know he made two errors in Tuesday night's game, but he also made a great play. Mm-hmm. Very aggressive player. Energy. Talk about the high energy they need. Yes. He's one of those guys that's had it. Talks all the time. You know, drops bunts here and there. Mm-hmm. Just does a lot of things to help them win. And then Palacios, I didn't even realize I thought he was infield was like a backup thing. He's been really good at second base. I mean, they got him to play the outfield. He's been really good at second base, giving him a left-handed hitting second baseman. Now we see, obviously, the impact Johnny DeLuca has had. And, you know, that trade is going to be always known as the Tyler Glasnow trade. Tyler Glasnow right now is the favorite for the Cy Young Award in the National League. He's been sure great. He's done everything they want. But
of course he is.
Look at what Ryan Pepio has done, though. And now that, you know, in a short, small sample, what Johnny DeLuca has done. And, you know, the Rays did not just give Tyler Glasnow away. And that point's going to be reinforced that they have these guys for 6 years.
Yeah, Pepio looks great. Of course, he took that line drive, I don't know, 107, 109 miles an hour off his calf, which could not have felt good. So he's headed to the IL, or he's on the IL now. Mark, how long do they think?
He's likely headed there. Cash, you know, was hedged to drop a little bit after Tuesday night's game. But he's going to end up going on the IL. Taj Bradley's going to come back and join the rotation. A guy who looked really good at times last year in his rookie year, unexpected promotion in the big leagues given all the injuries they had in the rotation, had some struggles, especially toward the end last year, looked really good in spring, looked great in a couple rehab starts. So this will be a big test here. If Taj Bradley can pitch as well as they think he can, bring that power fastball. They've got a rotation right now, Rick, that, you know, again, you know this, it's not a lot of power. It's a lot of control. It's a lot of dot the spots. You know, ball goes this way, ball goes that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pepio's power pitcher. And now if you get, you know, assuming he's not out long, but you get Taj Bradley back, he is all power. He's 95 plus and just comes at you pitch after pitch after pitch. That's going to help everybody in that rotation, because it's going to, you know, keep hitters from getting too comfortable over the course of a 3 or 4 game series.
You know, it's interesting. Of course, I saw you in Colorado on one of their first road trips and that game there. And we all know how it ended, right? They brought in Pete Fairbanks. He walked the park, and then I think Jason Adam gave up a grand slam walk-off or something like that. But Fairbanks said that time he couldn't – thought the baseballs, he blamed the baseballs. They were horrible, worst he's ever seen. Well, now we know that there's still maybe some problems with the nerves. I don't know if that affects that this is this current maturation of his situation. The larger picture is, Mark, that – we began the season, and look, I did not disagree with the Rays when you looked at this bullpen as it was sort of constituted at the beginning of the year, that was going to be the strength of their pitching staff. You know, you had a lot of starters that were, you know, guys that were coming into the rotation, you know, and now you've got the Tyler Alexanders and the Zach Littells, who's been very good, you know, hoping to get, you know, more for some other guys. But the bullpen – it kind of flipped on its head pretty early. Like, they were struggling badly certainly settled down, and Jason Adams has been the leader of that group down there. But I think the surprise has been maybe how kind of good to okay the starting staff has been, given the fact that they don't have Taj Bradley and they don't have some of these guys.
Yeah, and you're right. It was supposed to be the bullpen leading the way, really, as the strength of the entire team.
Right.
And they were brutal early on. They had the worst ERA. They still actually might be at the bottom in the American League,
yeah.
But they've been a lot better lately, which really speaks to how bad they were early yeah. on, if you want to be quite frank about it.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Adam has been really good. He has really stepped in with Fairbanks out. You know, Colin Poche is also out, so they really are missing their two most experienced, kind of most proven, most called upon relievers in Fairbanks and Poche, and they've been able to go on this run. I think Phil Maton is a big key to that. That was a pretty hefty signing for the Rays during the offseason, a six-plus mm-hmm. million-dollar reliever. He's like the fifth-highest-paid player on the team. Good track record with the Astros the last couple of years, but got off to a rough start, blew a couple games, and you know, you kind of see that mature veteran attitude, though. He understood what mistakes he made. And he's a guy they're really counting on to do a lot. He spins the ball at some of the highest rates of anybody in the majors. And I think he'll be a guy that ends up carrying a big share of the load as they go forward. So that's been a help to get him straightened out. They've gotten some help from the farm system. Kevin Kelly looks like he should be in the big leagues. He did not make the opening day roster. Jacob Wagisback did. There were some reasons for that as far as being able to pitch multiple innings. But Kevin Kelly looks like a big league reliever. I think we'll see a lot of him going forward. He's going to be a big help for them as well. So, yeah, getting the bullpen settled down. Now, Fairbanks is going to be interesting because, you know, he's had that issue with the cold weather before.
Right.
So there's something there, right? I don't think you have to be a doctor or stay at Holiday Inn Express to know that there's something there. It's the feel of the ball. Mm-hmm. It's the cold weather. Now they're calling it nerve-related. It all seems to be tied up in there. So, you know, this training staff has tried a bunch of things. He's got different gloves he wears in cold weather, different, like, warmers, like quarterback hand warmers. They've tried mm-hmm. a bunch of things with him, different medicines. They think they had it figured out. And then, obviously, you know, something was going on with the feel of the ball again. So that's going to be big going forward for them to be able to count on him and know he's there with that power fastball. But they've also shown, you know, in past years, if they have a problem with the bullpen, they'll go out and address that during the season. So I think you have to kind of see how that unfolds. The starting staff, as you said, better probably than it looked like it was going to be given where they were. And this is the part where they're going to get a lot better here. You've got Taj Bradley, as I said, coming back. It looks like this weekend against the Yankees. You've got Shane Boz is on rehab. A little bit of a wild card there because you kind of forget. It's like the backup quarterback. Everybody wants Shane Boz. He actually hasn't done all that much. I mean, he's thrown about as many passes as the Bucs backup quarterback from the University of Florida there, it feels like. So not a lot of track record, but a guy that could help them. And then the one that probably slipped under the radar a little bit, and this is as much on me and the other media probably, Jeffrey Springs is going to start throwing in some minor league games here in a couple weeks.
Holy cow. That is, yeah.
I think May 20th in a Florida Complex League game. So they're going to take it slow. They absolutely should. A couple arm surgeries. They're going to make sure he's built up. They're not going to, you know, any glitch, they're going to probably back him off. But all that being said, you start a rehab, usually that's about a six-week process or so. So you could be looking at Jeffrey Springs by early July. I mean, they talked about the All-Star break as a very, very rough point of demarcation. It looks like he might be on the front side of that or right around there. And if he comes back anywhere near where he was, and he only made the three starts last year, but think how he finished the year before. That's what led to them giving him that contract extension. And you talk about a lefty with some power that can really change the look of that rotation. So the starting pitching, barring any other injuries or guys getting hit by line drives, should be in pretty good shape. That bullpen's got some depth to it now, and I think the pitching will end up getting straightened out. But very, you know, uncharacteristic bad start pitching-wise, but I think they'll end up where they typically are.
Unfortunate with the line drive, but, man, I'm telling you, Pepio looks a little like, you know, Glasnow did a few years ago. I mean, his stuff can play. So assuming he comes back healthy, they got some value for Tyler.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Glasnow, I mean, Glasnow, obviously quirky personality, but Pepio a little bit like him too. Outgoing. You know, he's got the big head of hair.
Got the mane, yeah.
Kind of free spirited. Uh-huh. You know, very, you know, open talking about, you know, look, I know they told me not to worry about being Glasnow, and a lot of similarities there. In fact, when he got hit by the line drive, he said that If it had been 107, he was going to be able to get out of the way, but it was 107.5, and that's what got him. It just slowed him down just that little bit. So give him credit for a sense of humor despite the pain.
Yeah, no, it was, and he was pitching well, and it's unfortunate those things happen, but been very impressed with him. Okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So let me get your theory, because I've heard 1,000 of them, and they all could be true or none of them. And that is, Randy Arozarena had the worst month of his career. And it wasn't, you know, what did he bat about? Under 140, I think, for the month of April. That's as brutal, right? But it was the way he did it, which was a lot of swing and miss, which we've seen from Randy before. But there was so much talk, and I saw him in spring training, and Mark, and you did too. This guy came in, and he looked like he had spent a lot of time bench pressing, you know? And I'm used to football bodies, so when I walk through a major league clubhouse, I'm like, wow, that's all there is to this guy, you know, except for Yandy and a few people. It just, the bodies are different, and they should be, because the skill sets are different and what you need in terms of armor and all that. So a lot of theories about, well, you know, the chest, he's all locked up, this and that. Obviously his timing was off, and there was a lot of swing and miss. What I saw and I guess it started with this series against the Mets. He came up the first time and he hit one hard, a long way to right field. And then of course he had a home run in that game, but he started to walk, Mark. And anytime a guy's in a slump and he starts to see a lot of pitches, it tells me he's now seeing the baseball, you know what I mean? And it all starts with that. But what have you seen during this homestand? And also the other part was, he's a juice guy. And I don't mean that in a steroid standpoint. I mean, but he's a guy that thrives on moments, thrives on energy. And there was some energy, whether it was a lot of Mets fans or whatever it was, with the new uniforms and the people giving him a standing ovation in Randy Land. But you could see him sort of come alive. And, of course, it helps when you produce.
Honestly, I think all of that.
Yeah.
Take the player cop out when you lay out a big question. You rehearse in your head to make sure you get it right to a player, and he goes, all the above, and you're like,
yeah,
oh, great.
Yeah,
now
thanks
what?
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah, that quote doesn't help me, buddy. I got to fill this paragraph with your answer.
Yeah, I need you to say it. Right.
Yeah, but I do think it was a little bit of all that. I mean, I agree. I thought him being so bulked up had an impact on this. I've talked to some of the coaches. They say no. They also say that if you notice now, he's kind of not as swollen as he was.
He's lost some of that, sure.
Yeah, because, you know, he was. He was working out. There's a gym here in Tampa. It's actually probably a really cool story. It's a small gym, and a bunch of big leaguers have been hanging out there during the offseason. He was working out with Vlad Jr., Adolis Garcia. I mean, it makes me feel like such a bad reporter. Like, all these guys were hanging out in Tampa all winter. I didn't, like, know anything about it. I didn't see any of them. I mean, what the heck? So,
yeah.
But, yeah, he did. So, you know, you're not doing that, you know, whatever it was. Let's say it was 4 days a week. You're not going to that gym 4 days a week. You're not there for hours a day. You're not, you know, with your buddies trying to have a little competition there.
That's right, competition here,
so,
yeah.
You know, and plus, I know some people think baseball players aren't athletes, and they joke about how hockey players are tougher and all that, but you play baseball every day. So you're on the field every day. You're not – you don't have a lot of recovery days. You don't have a lot of chill days. Sometimes you're traveling at 3 and 4 in the morning, those guys, when they get off the plane after games. So – you know, there's not a lot of time to rest. So you do kind of lose weight during a baseball season as well. So I think that has gone down a little bit. I do think he was overly – it wasn't even that he was overly aggressive. His chase-like numbers weren't that high early in the season, but he was missing the pitches in the zone. That was the odd part. That's where the timing came in. You know, and Cash uses the phrase, he was in between. He's like, he's behind on fastballs. He's ahead on breaking balls, but he's pulling breaking balls foul down the left field line. He's behind or fouling balls off straight back or to the right side on fastball. So he just wasn't synced up. And I do think attitude, you're right. I think he plays on emotion. And I think, you know, we talked about the whole team being kind of flat early in the season. You know, the travel schedule was weird. That first road trip going to the freezing, you know, the one beautiful day in Colorado. Then
it was brutal after
weather,
that.
Then they flip. Then they go to L.A. and, you know, the West Coast time. I mean, all those things are little blah, blah excuses, but they all add up.
Yeah, they do.
So that first trip was weird. lose some games early on, some tough games. Everybody's down, not a lot of energy, new guys on the team. So all of that factors in. But, right, Randy is the guy I think who does play off the motion as much as anybody. Getting home, you know, the new uniform was exciting. He likes the attention, right? He likes the spotlight. He was one of the guys. You know, the Rays, give the Rays credit. They did – not only have they been working for 4 years on these uniforms, not only have they had the design pretty much locked in for almost 2 years, they had a giant photo shoot in spring training. Once again, your intrepid reporter totally misses that, where all those guys posed for all these pictures. Will Vragovic, who used to work for us, their team photographer.
Come on, Will.
He should be in the CIA or something, the ability to keep secrets he has. But, so Randy was one of the – my point is Randy was one of the centerpieces, one of the guys they featured. It's a lot of attention, you know, just a lot of things that – look, if it gets Randy fired up, you know, that's why they did Randy Land, right? They didn't do it against his will. They did it because they thought it would be exciting and he would respond to it, and he has. So it all added up, but you are seeing a more timed-up guy. And I will give him credit, Rick, because as much as, you know, playing on emotion and all that, even over the last few days where he's done better, 3 homers in a 5-game span, a couple hits, even after Tuesday night's game, he said, "Yo, yeah, I'm feeling a little bit more like myself, but let me get 2 hits in a game before we talk about that." And that was a good sign of humility there. I was impressed that he kind of had that perspective and, you know, joking about some other things. So I do think, you know, as a couple guys in the clubhouse were saying about him on the field, but I think overall you're kind of getting the old Randy back. He didn't talk to us. We declined some interview requests while he was struggling early on, and then it was actually after the fight in Milwaukee, he sent word through PR that he would talk that night. He wanted to talk about he didn't like the idea of them fighting the way they did. And then that kind of led to him talking about some of his own struggles. And I'm not saying that had anything to do with it, but, you know, a little bit of a cleansing maybe from his standpoint.
Cathartic, yeah.
And they came home, and then he starts with the big weekend on Friday like everybody else.
He had a lot on his mind. I'll tell you what impressed me about him, and just watching from a very, very far, which when I say afar, I mean like my couch. Is that despite those struggles, and, baseball will chew you up. Mark, you've been around this so long that as much as they say it's a team sport, you know, there's a guy with a baseball on the mound and there's you with the bat 60, you know, feet away, 6 inches, and no one can help you, right? It's just – it's a man-against-man competition at that point. And despite his struggles and the strikeouts, which, you know, are never good, I never saw him lose his cool. You know, I at some point I thought he's going to break a bat over his knee, you know, or he's going to throw a helmet. The thing that impressed me is sort of he just kind of, you know, went about his business, you know, like he didn't change. And I know it was killing him and eating him up because no one wants to bat, you know, 140 or 130 anything. But I was impressed with the maturity that he handled this whole situation with.
I agree with you. It actually, we were talking about that last night. Adam Berry and Trisha Whitaker and I were talking about that Tuesday. And kind of the same thing that he did. He kept his cool. I mean, even during that fight, there would have been a chance. If you had some frustrations, a team brawl when everybody's everywhere and nobody's really watching, that'd be a good chance to take it out. And what did you see? You saw him and Willie Adames, who were friends when Willie was with the Rays, standing there trying to be peacemakers and then just kind of stepping back with their arms around each, you know, arm around his shoulder, kind of just watching and letting the thing kind of die out. But, no, I agree with you. I thought Randy has handled the frustration and the angst. You think about it, and you know, I'm glad this doesn't happen in our business, but you're a baseball player, you're struggling, you go up to the plate, and what's up there in 10-foot-high letters on the scoreboard? Your batting average. And when there's a dot and a one or a dot and a zero or something?
Oh, brutal.
I mean, could you imagine if that was like you're my hit percentage on using the right verb and noun agreement or something?
Yeah, or
like
here's
that,
all the misspelled words or something
Your spelling rate showed up on the scoreboard before you started typing. Like, we have to sometimes appreciate with those guys, you know, just that the way you have to handle that ego wise as well. Yeah. And I do think Randy has handled his struggles well. I think the fact that he's not boasting that he's cured yet or that he's out of it or that he's back to being Randy yet. I thought the line about needing to get 2 hits in a game, which he did in games 2 and 3 of the season. He just hadn't done it since the end of March. But
right.
I thought those were all good signs that he knows there's more to come.
Yeah, no, I think there's definitely more to come. And it was good to see him break out on this homestand as he did. No interview would be complete, Mark. You wrote about it in the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com without asking you about one Wander Franco. And, of course, you know, as much as Ahmed Rosario has played beyond maybe expectations, and they've been very fortunate because of that, it's very difficult to replace a guy that was trending the way he was as a superstar in this league. What is the latest in terms of his situation, both with Major League Baseball and, as you wrote about, in the Dominican?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we were just to sidetrack you for a second, but we were talking about, you know, missing the left-handed bats and not having Brandon Lau, not having Josh Lowe, you know, expecting Aranda to step up. You know, you go back and look at the success the Rays had last season. I mean, Wander Franco hitting left-handed, being the switch hitter, hitting lefty against right-handed pitching. He had some pretty good numbers, and that was a big part of their success.
Huge.
Through that first half. You know, he ended up being named to the All-Star team, and obviously all the legal issues are the more important topic, but you do look back at what's been missing from, you know, the offense last year when they were one of the best in the league to this year. I think it's fair to point out that Wander Franco's bat was definitely one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward, as far as the legal aspect, there was a report in one of the Dominican papers on late Monday night, early Tuesday morning, that he will face essentially charges. They use some different phrases. We've learned a lot about the Dominican court system in covering this, and there's still a lot of questions about the Dominican court system, to be honest. But so the accusations, they call it, will be filed. I'm going to use the phrase charges here in June. That was kind of expected, but there's also, you know, been a steady flow of you know, kind of back channel chatter here that you hear from different people. You don't know even necessarily where it's coming from, but that, you know, the charges may be dropped. They may not be filed. This thing may collapse. So, you know, this does sound like there will be at least a next step, because you know, at some point he had a court order where he had to check in every month. That was going to expire in July. There was a window for the accusations or charges to be filed. That was, I think, sometime in July. So it sounds like this will get to conclusion rather than like another extension or something. So if this report is true, you would assume that there would be resolution, you know, shortly thereafter. And then there's still Major League Baseball has to weigh in. So if Wander Franco were to face charges and be found guilty of something in the Dominican Republic, obviously if he would have to serve any type of jail time or not be allowed to leave, that would certainly impact any chance of him coming back, obviously, from a physical standpoint, if he can't leave or has to go to jail. And then also the other thing is, once the Dominican court system is resolved, even if he's cleared, Major League Baseball has been doing an investigation as well. And those typically are slow-tracked until the legal process plays out, wherever it is. And then they weigh in because, you know, they want to let the legal system dictate, obviously, what could happen first. But there'd also be the possibility, even if there was no, let's just say, no jail time, he would somehow be cleared or given probation. MLB could also step in and impose a suspension depending on what his investigation finds out. So I think the best news about this, honestly, is just that there'll be some next step here. Something's going to happen. He also has been placed on administrative leave. That was agreed to go through June 1st. That can be extended, I would assume, if the court is going to rule on something later in June. That will just roll over to include the month of June. But that's another thing to watch, too. That's an agreement between Major League Baseball and the Players Union. So best news in this case, just I think from in a way a selfish standpoint, but I think for most Rays fans and certainly team personnel, is there'll be some type of development here. This has been a very long process. This started in mid-August and did not have any official action yet, essentially, has certainly dragged this out.
And in the meantime, he's being paid. Is that correct, Mark?
He is being paid as part of the administrative leave is considered like a non-disciplinary action to kind of remove a player from a situation where there are charges, where it's publicly known to kind of eliminate controversy for the player and or for the team. But he is being paid through this process. Now, that part of the reason to set it up to June 1st was to allow a switch if the union would agree to it and MLB and the Rays. To try to not pay him going forward if they put him on the restricted list. But I think if this is going to come to some type of head in June, I would assume that that would just be continued, extended after we get to June 1st.
It's a great update. And certainly, yes, I think when you look at the, you know, both Yandy and Randy, who's in between those guys in the lineup was Wander Franco, and that affects certainly the pitches they see and everything else. So that's definitely had an impact on them. Listen, we won't, as you guys hear this podcast, you may not know the outcome of the latest game against the White Sox, but the Yankees are coming to town, and that's always a big story, Mark. Kind of an important series maybe at this juncture. They got some AL East opponents on the horizon here, and if you're playing well and you can make it six in a row or five out of six and keep going, they can climb their way sort of, you know, back into contention here. Not that they're out of it. It's only very early May, but being over 500 is a good start. But this Yankees team looks really good.
Yeah, they do look really good. They're, I think, tied or about tied with Baltimore as we record this. And the Rays went up there, got a sense of what they did. I think the Rays won one of those three. And then just to kind of get a feel for where you measure up. I mean, they're going to be in a stretch of playing a bunch of AL East games. They play the Yankees at home. They go on a road trip that's Boston and Toronto. They come home and play Boston. It's also weird that just in the randomness of the schedule and this new format is still being kind of worked out where you play everybody every year. But they won't play Baltimore until the last day of May. I mean, they don't see Baltimore till like, you know, essentially the third month of the season.
Wow.
And you only play each team in your division four times, two home, two road, rather than 6-3-3 as in the past. So those games are kind of magnified a little more. They matter a little more.
Yeah.
You know, the Yankees will bring big crowds to the Trop. It was kind of a New York thing playing the Mets last weekend, the Yankees this weekend. We saw the Rays responded well against the Mets. But, yeah, it's too early, like, to say it's a measuring stick, but it's at least a way to kind of take a look at each other and size each other up. And, when they finish this series, they'll be halfway done with the Yankees for the season. So you've got to keep that in mind, too. And the other two series are in July, so they will not see the Yankees again after July.
It's crazy when they used to play him, what, 18, 19 times a year. It's just really a fast deal. Well, he's Mark Tompkin, and you can read him in the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com, obviously. Marco, you got the hot team in baseball right now, man. Let's see if they can keep that going. But it certainly has been a nice turn for the Rays as the month of May gets started. Appreciate all the time, buddy.
Sounds good. I look forward to your skateboarding demonstration.
Yeah, that you'll have to wait a long time. Although, even though I got people that want those hats. I think the greatest thing they did about that uniform, I know it's not for my generation and the boomers of the world necessarily, but I'll tell you, the Sky Rays hat with the Skyway, genius, absolute genius
logo.
Great.
That was all Warren Hypes, their VP of creative and brand. He wouldn't quite give up the whole story here, but I think basically he like literally sketched that out himself.
That
kind of popped into his head. He went back to Nike and was like, hey, can we make this work? And, you know, I'm sure they've got some people who are a little better drawers than he is. But, yeah, that was something that they came up with kind of on their own. It was going to be a small patch on the uniform. And then the more they all looked at it internally, they're like, no, let's get this a little bit more prominent, a little more prominent. And here you have it. It's the hat. And I agree with you. That has been big. And the Ray doing the trick on the skateboard.
Skateboard, yeah.
I can tell you there's a 14-month-old and a 35-year-old in Jersey City who already told me what to buy and went to, and it's already mailed up. So
yeah, no, that's big.
That as well.
That's big time. Everybody gets gifts. There's no doubt about that. Well, again, Mark Tompkin, you read him in Tampa Bay Times, TampaBay.com. Mark, have a great rest of the homestand and enjoy the Sunset Theater.
All right, Ricky, you too. See you.
All right, those Tampa Bay Rays are off tonight. They begin a series tomorrow against those New York Yankees from the Bronx coming down here to beautiful St. Petersburg. Meanwhile, the Bucks will begin their rookie mini camp. First workout is on Friday. They'll work out Friday and Saturday. We'll be out for that. You can check that out in the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com. And also, get your mailbag questions in for a nice Friday mailbag. You can do that by going on Twitter or X. You can reach me at NFL Stroud. Or you can also send your questions in to @SportsDayTB. Or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.